Syndicate, Bill Hendricks.
Hi, it's the Phil Hendry Show. Welcome here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we are no longer a news talk show because news talk is death. It's absolute death. And we never were a news talk show. We've always been entertainment skewed. We've always been humor skewed, if you'll pardon the expression. It sounds pornographic, and in point of fact, the way I'm thinking of it, it is. Don't look at me like that, bud.
What do you mean, pornographic?
Just never mind. Anyway, we're here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and truth is our bitch. Now, I do get, and just want to make this one point.
Phil, don't do it.
Hold on. I'm not going to do anything wrong. Excuse me. I'm not going to do anything wrong.
Well, don't start being controversial.
I'm not going to be controversial. I want to answer a question that was asked of me on Facebook. A guy said, where can we find you now, Phil? You're not on in Youngstown, Ohio. Youngstown, Ohio, by the way, was always a great market for us, going back many, many years. Miami was always a great market for us. Salt Lake City was always a great market for us. Los Angeles was always a great market for us. Now, if you are wondering where we are now, you can go to our affiliate page at philhendryshow.com, or please call Talk Radio Network. They're the ones that, they're in charge of all of this. I'm sure they'd be very happy to tell you what's up with their affiliation effort with regard to the Phil Hendry Show. I'm sure they would just be thrilled to talk to you. Okay, but I don't know. I would love to answer every last one of your questions concerning, well, gee, Phil, are you on iHeartRadio? Are you here? Are you there? When are you going to be on satellite? It's all I can do to try to keep a radio show pinned together. You know, when it comes to the business end of the radio show, unfortunately, that's completely out of my hands, with the exception of, I guess, well, I was going to say cashing the check.
Any of those checks you're going to collect in that drawer until you cash them?
I'm not collecting any checks in any drawers. The business end of it is it's just not, other than, you know, like I say, you know, putting money into the bank. But I don't, such as it is, but I don't, I can't answer any of those other questions. I wish I could, I can't. When it comes to our website, when it comes to any other aspect of our business, we'd be more than happy to answer your questions. But I don't know. I think, though, the good news is that the questions will be answered and all will be well someday. Now, the reason why we're not going to do news talk, and we swore off doing news talk, it was pretty funny, too, because, you know, as we've been discussing with you, the news talk format in radio is dead. I don't know whether you know this or not. A lot of you are probably thinking, locally, it's doing great. Locally, many of your local stations.
By the way, who are you talking to right now? If you don't know what stations you're on, are you on any stations?
Yes, I'm on stations.
Well, I'm just wondering who it is you're talking to.
I'm talking to people listening to us. And people that are watching us on the video cast. Now I lost my place. God.
Well, Phil.
Just never mind. You guys button in. All right. So here's the thing. The news talk, as I mentioned, the news talk format being dead in the water, and I mean dead. And locally everything is great, but nationally it's gone. The advertisers, they want no part of news talk anymore. The reason being because the controversy and the boycotts and everything, they can't take it any longer. So all of a sudden these brain surgeons who were investing so heavily in a news talk, now they're, let's do comedy. Let's do sports talk. I was talking about this 5-6 years ago. They've got it. It's an amazing thing. One of these days, I'm going to sit down with some of these guys. I'm going to catch a few of them late night in a bar when they're really hammered, and then just start peppering them with questions like I'm a reporter. I'll just disguise myself as Clark Kent or something, and I'll go in there, you know.
Yeah, I'd be done. Go in and ask them what to help. Like you're going to interview him. Yeah, pretend like you're interviewing him for a newspaper article.
So I might do that. I'm telling you. All right, we have an article here that I find fascinating. And, you know, last night we talked about the wrestling is gone from the Olympics as of 2020. And that means that, you know, a sport that had been a part of the Olympics since 1896 when the modern Olympics began, and certainly was a part of the early Olympics. When we talk about the Greco-Roman style of wrestling, one would think that during the early athletic competitions, that was a major part of it. It will be gone as of 2020. Now, I don't know, after all of that discussion last night, why it was that they decided to get rid of of wrestling, you know.
Well, the guest said because it had...
Yeah, the guy's putting his thumb in a guy's butt.
That's not why they're getting rid of it.
Well, that's what that one guy said.
Yeah, I know that's what that, quote, one guy said, whoever that was. Who was that?
That was Dr. Sadler, who I thought had some very good things to say. But if you don't, you're the one that counts, Phil.
Yeah, you're the one that counts. We talked about having a thumb pushed up in there.
Okay, bud. I doubt seriously whether that's why there's not going to be any more Greco-Roman wrestling, so we don't have to see a guy putting his thumb up there.
Well, I'll tell you, that's why I gave up on it. I was a very, very big Greco-Roman fan, and then one day I was at the wrestling arena and everything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, go ahead. Don't look at me. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
Yes, go on.
Go on.
Well, like I was saying, I was at the Greco-Roman arena one day, and, well, I forget. It might have been a roller derby.
Get out of here, roller derby. Now, there's something they ought to put in the Olympics.
Yeah, that'd be so bitching if they had Olympic. That'd be great.
Shut up, man. No, I'm telling you right now, if they don't have roller derby in the Olympics, there's something wrong.
I thought roller derby was phony baloney.
Roller derby is as phony as the day is long, but roller derby doesn't have to be phony. It has real rules. Isn't there like a real, you know?
Yeah, they got rules and everything. You're supposed to beat a guy up and go by him or something.
What are you talking about?
Roller derby has rules. What they are, I don't know. Maybe we'll look them up. Robert, see if they got rules online for roller derby.
Check.
And then see whether or not there's actually a professional roller derby league, will you?
Check.
And then also see whether or not the... What?
I think that's about all he can handle.
Okay. Sorry to overwork you, Robert.
Check.
Anyway, I would love to know what the rules of roller derby are and then put together a proposal, a package. I would go to the Olympic Organizing Committee there, wherever they're headquartered in London. I'd put my best foot forward. In fact, I'd actually put a shoe on that's oversized so that when I put it forward, I'd say, this is my best foot. That's why the shoe's bigger. And just look at all those square-looking guys, that real straight-laced Avery Brundage, you know, quasi-neo-fascist, dirty...
My God, you really are invested in this.
Well, I got a problem with them. I got a problem with a man ever since I found out they were all a bunch of anti-Semites. Now, I'm joking around. I mean, not for years they have been. So, you get that roller derby going. Now you're talking. Now you're talking, because now you're introducing a sport that one day will evolve into...
Rollerball!
Thank you. Hey.
What?
Rollerball.
Hey, that's not a bad idea.
Rollerball in the movie with James Caan and the other guy, I forget his name. He was a big star, and then he wasn't nothing. Rollerball in that film was an internationally exhibited sport, internationally competed between the Energy City and Tokyo, which was what, bud?
Houston was the Energy City, and Tokyo was the... I don't know. I mean, it's...
Like,
well, you... The bowl haircut?
I'm surprised at you, Margaret.
Well, that's what you were always talking about.
Not the bowl haircut, City.
No, Tokyo was the commerce city, something like that. And every city represented a different facet of international, the international corporate effort, the international commercial effort, the international infrastructural effort. Because as has been predicted by so many, there are no longer companies, there's corporations. Well, Tokyo and Houston had this one game, and then there was also a game between Houston and, I guess it was New York, and New York was the porn city. No, I don't know what it was.
It was Fear. Back then it was Fear City.
Yes, back then it was Fear City, right. No, it was something else. And one of the major things that happened in the film, one of the climactic and pivotal points in the plot, was the one of the great players for the Energy City Houston team, James Caan's best friend, played by whoever that actor was, he gets his neck broken by the Tokyo guys.
Yeah, because Tokyo guys used, like, karate.
Well, they used some kind of, you know, these Tokyo dudes would use these kind of punches. And then, of course, it's very typical of the films of the 70s, which was the solitary man against the large corporate industrial monster behemoth megadeth thing. And isn't that just a terrible thing that we all have to deal with that, even though it sure is nice to have lights and running water. So...
Well, Phil, don't start making apologies for what has been a very destructive and life-sapping reality in our lives.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the industrial complex that Mr. Hendry was defending here a moment ago.
Wait. Hold on for a minute. Do you like running water?
Phil, that's not the point.
I'm just asking. Do you like to have running water?
That is not the point. The point is this. We have been dehumanized by the industrial and commercial effort to...
Yeah?
Phil, don't sit there going, yeah. To... Never mind.
You always say that.
Don't say that, Ms. Brady. You never finish a point.
No, I finish my points. But I finish them in the bathroom. I'll be right back.
Hey, there she goes. To the bathroom.
Don't you have your squirrel meter?
No, we don't have the squirrel meter, bud. What happened to that?
You're making a big deal about a squirrel. We got rid of the squirrel.
Maybe we ought to bring the squirrel meter back so that every time Margaret chickens out in an argument...
I didn't chicken out.
You chickened out. And we'll hit the... It won't be called the squirrel meter anymore. It'll be called the chicken out meter. Because you went to the bathroom instead of explaining.
All right.
Oh, here she is.
Yes, here she is. The industrial military... Never mind.
Oh, get out of here. This whole thing about the military and dust, whatever the hell, man. Look, you know, either you like to crap into a toilet that flushes or you don't. I repeat, either you like crapping into a flushing toilet or you don't. If we got a problem with the big military industrial complex, this, that, and all of the dehumanizing this, that, and this, and that, you either got to deal with it or you just say, you know, then I'm pulling out, you know, if you'll pardon the expression, pull out. And I know it's not manly, but in this sense, you know, you don't do a Ted Kaczynski in that you're mailing bombs. If Ted Kaczynski had just gone up to his tar paper shack and never had anything to do with another human being again as long as he lived, then we would have been spared his paranoid and hurt feelings, you know. But instead, he went up and did one thing that being a hermit really doesn't. It, you know, you can't do as a hermit. He was mailing out bombs. And so that's not exactly withdrawing
from society.
All right, coming up, 5 Olympic sports that should be gone instead of wrestling. 5 Olympic sports that should be gone instead of wrestling. And we'll be talking about these 5 Olympic sports that should be gone instead of wrestling with Mr. Stephen Bozell and Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. When we come back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Don't forget to get a backstage pass if you so desire. I think it's a very good idea if you're a Phil Hendry fan to get a backstage pass, listen to thousands of hours of our archived audio, to listen to our daily podcasts, to become a part of the extravaganza, the excitement, the fun, the frivolity, and yes, at times, the irresponsible behavior of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, now in its... What sounds good? 68th year, how about that? I don't know, nobody's going to look it up, are they?
Well, how many years you done, what have you done it?
Did you hear what he just said?
Yes, I heard. How many years have I done it?
I mean, I'm sorry, how many, what?
How many years have I done it? You mean, how many years did I, how many years, the way to say it is this way, bud. How many years?
Yeah, you don't even know how to say it, Missouri.
Hold on, yes, I do. How many years have you been done
What are you retards trying to tell me?
Margaret, don't use that word, okay?
Well, in this case, I think you don't know how to say how many... Here's what you say. I can't believe this. There's people sitting out there right now that are very bemused by this. It's how many... You say this, but are you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Well, then why are you... What are you picking out of from underneath your fingernails?
Is this grease?
Why don't you wash your hands before you come... Grease.
You say this. How many years did you did it?
Oh, baby.
No, Miss Henry.
No, just don't even. It's how many years have you been doing it, Mr. Hendry?
That sounds crude. I don't think that's it.
Yes, that is it. How many years have you been doing the show, Mr. Hendry?
Well, you can say that.
Well, what was crude about the other way?
Well, you see, and how many years have you did it? It sounds like you're talking about...
Well, that does sound like you're spanking it.
What is it with you guys and spanking it?
You know, I'm leaving if this conversation goes down that road again.
All right. I'm talking about...
It does sound like spanking.
No, it doesn't. How many years did you did it? How many years have you been doing the show, Mr. Henry? That's all. And we've been doing it, to answer your question, bud, we've been doing it 22 years. 22 years. The Phil Henry Show.
But how many years did you did it, though?
You know something? That's it. This crudity is beyond...
Hey, chicken!
What? What is that?
That's the chicken. That's the Margaret sound effect now.
How dare you? I am going to the toilet. I'm not going to listen to the two of you talking about spanking it. Thank you and good night.
Yeah, chick.
Hey, Margaret, chickens ain't feeding.
You know something? All right, so I'll sit down. I'll take it. No one calls me chicken and walks away from it. Just understand that.
Well, Margaret, you're the one walking out of here with a big yellow stripe right down your back.
Why don't you go straight? I'm going to the toilet. I said I'm going to the toilet.
Nope, you're chicken.
Chicken? Yeah, chicken.
Yeah, chicken. Ow!
Don't you say that to me.
Wow, did she hit you?
No, but I made it sound like she did.
Anyway, Margaret's off to the toilet right now, folks, because, well, I'm sure she has stuff she has to do.
You're going to get the, you know something, Phil? You've heard of someone, you know, blankety-blanking, you know, crapping like a chicken? Have you heard of that?
Yes, I have.
Have you ever heard of anyone crapping a whole chicken? That'll be you. Thank you. Yeah, that's what's going to sound like.
What? What does that mean?
You're going to scare you so bad you'll crap a chicken.
Scare me so bad I'll crap a chicken.
Yes, here. This is what it's going to sound like from the bathroom. Oh, where's Phil? He's in the toilet.
Very funny.
Oh, sounds like Phil crapped a chicken.
All right, enough with the chicken.
You don't want to hear it.
I didn't want to hear it. You were fooling around with chicken sound effects. All right, here we go, folks. Time now for the list of five sports that the Olympics can do very well without. And then later, Margaret Gray in the next half hour interviews Bobby Dooley on her new podcast, the Bobby Dooley Podcast. Now, oh, wait a minute. We've also got Jay Santos and Steve Bozell in the offing on these. Are we going to push them to the next quarter hour? Or are we going to be, quit fooling around with that, bud. Are we going to put, what do you want to do?
I think we'll put them on the next quarter hour. We also have Bobby Dooley push her to the next hour. I think we just have to push everybody, man. As soon as you get that chicken pushed out.
Shut up. All right. The five sports that at least one writer believes can be dumped from the Olympics, ESPN's Jim Caplay. Equestrian, an elite sport that requires the backing of such enormous private wealth that I don't think they can afford it even at Downtown Abbey, or Downton Abbey. Despite the presence of Bruce Springsteen's daughter... How do you like that? Springsteen's daughter is an equestrian. That's what happens when people get money, and the little girl always wants to have a horse. So when your dad is Bruce Springsteen, you can afford, you know, a horse. And the next thing you know, you've got an equestrian champion in the family. So Bruce Springsteen's daughter is in the equestrian events, but this is truly the sport of kings and queens. Queen Elizabeth's granddaughter, Zara Phillips, competed in London, won a silver medal. Maybe equestrian might hold some appeal to the 99%ers. If we could bet a $2 trifecta on the medal winners, yes! Now there's a sport, horse racing, thoroughbred horse racing. You want an Olympic sport? There it is. That's the sport. That's the true sport. The true, because if they want to get sports in the Olympics that the average man and woman enjoys, then I would think that horse racing is one of them. Synchronized swimming. Synchronized swimming, which is the one where everybody is doing all the movements. I never did get that one. And then the one with the ribbons, what is that?
Yeah, that's synchronized like ribbons or something.
You know,
I don't understand what that is, man. And I'm not trying to knock it. Honest to God, I'm not. But when, you know, I've been a sports fan my whole life, and when I see a sport that I don't understand, even, you know, I at least I can understand the javelin and the hammer throw. It's about throwing the damn thing as far as you can throw it. But synchronized ribbons and You got me, man. All right, we're coming back here with, I believe, Jay Santos and Steve Bozell on these sports, the different sports in the Olympics. We'll also have Bobby Dooley next hour as she... As she talks about her new podcast, the Bobby Dooley Podcast, world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL and online at philhenryshow.com. Jay Santos and Stephen Bozell will join us now from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Well, actually, from Corona, California, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, respectively. Both these guys will be talking with us a little bit about the Olympics, Olympic events that have been canceled. Only one has been canceled, really, which is the wrestling event. Jay, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing really good. Thanks for having me on.
And Jay is at the you're at the substation.
Already, one of the Citizens Auxiliary Police substations tonight is Sub-Commander Wentworth's home, located here in Torrance, California, and that's where we do, where we sit, and we're sitting in the kitchen right now. It's, I've been through this before, Phil.
No, I understand. I'm not bringing it up to embarrass you. You guys are in the home of one of the members of your organization, right?
Well, yes, it's his home, but it is a, tonight it's a substation, and I think I have explained that to you, but just to people who don't know,
yeah,
we use the homes of our some of our sub-commanders, myself, Major Elvis Newton. We do use his an addition that he and his wife put on their home 2 years ago, which was a guest room and a guest bathroom, and we use that as a substation when we have no other substations. But we do call them substations. We're Citizens Auxiliary Police. That means we assist the police. We go in behind the police and make sure that they've done the job that they should do for citizens. So I suppose you could say that if we don't have a facility that is exclusively devoted to the detention of suspects, roll call, the writing of reports, the filing of reports, the story reports so far, it's because we're the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
And you're using each other's houses. Tonight you're in...
We use each other's houses, and tonight we're at Sub-Commander Wentworth's home. And but I always feel as if you bring that up, Mr. Henry, as a way of denigrating...
No, I'm not trying to denigrate. I just... It would not be fair of me to say that you're in a substation without pointing out to my listeners...
That we're in someone's private home?
Yes, sir, because I think people are going to think Citizens Auxiliary Police has an official building that they've devoted, that they have established, that they devote their business to, and that gives you an official standing in the minds of some.
Well, here's where we have this argument, okay?
Well, look, I don't want to argue about the exist. You guys exist. You do what you do, right?
No, but you have, and we have this argument, Phil, where you will say you don't want us to be official, and we are official. In every way that a auxiliary, well, in every way a law enforcement can be. We have a uniform, as we have mentioned, and as I try to go through with you.
Well, you have a uniform that's a pith helmet. You wear a...
We wear a blue armband that identifies... Forget about a pith helmet. You don't have to bring up... we have a blue armband.
Well, what is the wingtips and the shorts?
Yes, sir, we do. Yes, sir, we do. But I'm bringing up the most official part of our uniform was a blue armband. And this happens every time I'm on your program.
Well, until such time, sir, as I can be assured that your detention, your so-called detention powers and other things that you guys practice are legal, I have to, talk to you about this because I don't want to give my audience the wrong idea. I'm going to bring on from Corona, California now, Stephen Bozell. Mr. Bozell is a construction contractor. He's a gentleman that has been on our program before for a variety of topics, mostly relating to the construction business, the raising of his family, neighborhood issues. Now, Mr. Bozell, you ran afoul of Mr. Santos, and I'd like to have him explain himself, Jay, if you don't mind.
That's fine.
You ran afoul of Mr. Santos, I guess it was the early part of January, is that correct?
Yes, sir. Am I on the air right now?
Yes, sir, you are.
Oh, okay, Mr. Henry, thank you. If you could repeat your question, I'm sorry.
When did you first have contact with Mr. Santos?
Yes, sir. I was in a part of my property. I've got 2 acres in Corona, California, and we have bought the Haley Mountain section of Corona, California, which borders both the it borders Pomona and it borders parts of Ontario. And I had my daughter, who is at that time practicing show jumping. We had a pony that we had purchased for her 11th birthday, and she was doing some show jumping and a different kind of English saddle and side saddle, every which way. And I was demonstrating for her what side saddle, what I meant by side saddle. I had said to her, well, now, if you've seen a Dale Evans movie, or she didn't know, and I said, have you ever seen, if a lady has a dress? And she still didn't know. So I went up on the horse, I got on the horse, the big horse we had called Zeus. And
now, this was the horse that was your daughter's horse?
Now, this is a bigger horse we had that I had actually rented from Stu Wentley, who's a gentleman who has a riding stable nearby. So she had her horse. I had Zeus. She had her horse, Daisy. True. She had True. Excuse me. And
so her horse was a smaller horse, I take it.
Yeah, it's a smaller mare. And I had Zeus, a big gelding. And in any event, I said, here's how you ride side saddle. And at that moment, Mr. Santos had pulled up in what looked like a blackened van that had tinted, blackened out windows. The first thing you think of when you see a black van, and it has that's very distracting, sir.
Jay, is that your substation that I'm hearing all that?
Yeah, we're just watching. You know, we're listening to the radio and also watching a television show, and I didn't think it was going to be a big thing. So,
what are you watching?
We're watching Anger Management, Charlie Sheen.
Okay, if you could turn it down.
I will turn it down, but it also is wired into, it's the overall PA for the substation. So he turned that down, I'm going to turn down any calls that come in. So, as long as you take responsibility for that.
Yes, I'll take responsibility if you miss some calls.
All right, so it's on you then, right?
Are you?
Is on, Mr. Henry, if we miss...
Yeah, it's on me.
All right, you said it's on him. Go ahead, turn it down. Shut it down. We'll turn over to Wyatt Earp here.
No, don't give me to Wyatt Earp, okay?
Well, you're telling me how to do my business.
See, this was the problem I had with him, Mr. Henry. I got all of this kind of nonsense from him.
You didn't get any nonsense from me. Okay, I pulled up, and the first thing you did was... let out with a very feminine-sounding scream, and...
Hold on for a minute, gentlemen. Just have that thing turned down, if you don't mind.
All right, turn it down. Go ahead.
Okay, where was I?
You were talking about how you were going to demonstrate for your daughter how to ride side saddle, okay, and then you saw Mr. Santos's van pull up.
Yes, sir. I saw Jay Santos, this gentleman that we're speaking with tonight, pull up. The first thing I saw, I didn't know it was Jay Santos. I don't know. I would not know who Mr. Santos was. But I saw a black van, a dark-colored van. It had tinted windows. And we live in a cul-de-sac. And so you ask yourself, there's no throughway. What is a dark van with tinted windows coming up to a cul-de-sac, going very slowly in my cul-de-sac? And I don't know how familiar you are. I'm very familiar, and I stay on the alert. That's the... serial murderers, and... Can I finish, sir?
Yes, go ahead.
Because, Mr. Henry, serial murderers are known to... Not all of them, but a lot of these people have these darkened-out vans.
All right, so you thought the van was being driven by someone that was up to no good?
I felt very much that we were in some kind of danger, and that's when I... This man says I let out a feminine scream. All I said was, April... And my voice cracked.
I've got the recording, you know. I've got the recording, you know. See, figures don't lie. Well, a recording don't lie neither.
You have a recording of this guy?
Yes, sir, because we record every one of our interdictions and every single one of our encounters with citizens. We record with our helmet cam if we can. Ordinarily, we record with a tape recorder. We'll have like an iPhone or any, you know, Android recorder or something like that. We'll just hold up and report everything that's going on. And it turned out I did have a helmet cam on that day.
See, this guy came out of his van wearing some sort. I saw a thing on his head, and it, the first thing I thought, I didn't know it was a man. I didn't know what it was. You got to understand something. I got my daughter. I'm on a piece of property that's 3 acres, but we've got no protection at all. Here comes a blacked out van. Out of the van gets a man or a thing. I had no idea what it was because the head looked, what was on it was from the neck up looked wrong. And
well, when you say it from the neck up, what was he looking at?
He saw my helmet cam.
Well, that's what he says.
So you had this helmet on with a camera?
That's correct, yes, sir. But there's no reason for him to get frightened because any fool can see it was a camera scotch taped to a helmet.
Well, sir, you can call me a fool then if you want to. But when you got out of that van, you didn't look like anything that came. You looked like you'd walk right to the gates of hell. I'm not kidding. And
okay, I'm getting a general idea here. I don't know who's overreacting, but you saw a man getting out of this van. That was Jay. He's wearing his helmet cam.
That's all I was doing to protect ourselves and our sub-commanders from whatever it was this man was going to claim. Because I can tell you, Mr. Henry, we saw, you know, a man on a horse, and we heard a very feminine scream, and we saw him riding side saddle with a little girl, and we felt that we had a situation. Now, I wanted to move. I wanted to spread out, and I told my sub-commanders to spread out.
What situation did you have?
That's what I wanted to know. I tried to ask this guy, and I got wrestled to the ground right in front of my daughter.
What situation did I have? I have a... We got to play the tape. Where is Caligula? Outside.
Who's Caligula?
He's the official. He's the dog. He's the dog of the substation. But Chris goes. That's Chris. Get Chris in here. I want the recording too. So we're going to show you, or we'll play for you what we heard when we pulled up and got that cut three. I don't know if you heard that.
Well, we lost connection. Now, what I heard was some people, and then I heard what sounded like, ooh, or something like that.
That's exactly.
That was me as I turned. I was riding side saddle, all right? And I was demonstrating to my dog, you know.
All right, well, we're going to get to the bottom of this, okay?
Yeah, I'm sure you will, but it always comes out that I wind up looking like the hind end. Well, you know, I got to tell you something, Mr. Basel. You are... My name is Bozell, sir. If you'd have the common decency to call me the name that which was the name that they put on me...
I have called you Steve.
Yeah, Steve's a good start, but my last name is Bozell, not Basel.
Okay, Mr. Bozell and Mr. Santos, please hang on. We'll be with you in a moment. So, the argument here is that this man is teaching his daughter how to do different kinds of horsemanship, which is Western, which is English riding. He was showing her a side saddle move when he saw Mr. Santos get out of his Citizens Auxiliary Police van. He didn't know that. He thought it was some serial murderer's van because it's a dark van with blacked out windows, and Mr. Santos had gotten out wearing a helmet cam. In the mind of Mr. Bozell, it was a very otherworldly event, and it frightened him. We'll be back to talk more with Stephen Bozell and with Jay Santos. This is our Olympics topic?
Yeah, well, it's about riding.
Yeah, about show riding.
It's about show riding, sort of. Just, you know, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth
show
is riding. Our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. If you don't have a backstage pass, you really need to get one because it's everything that we say it is. A backstage pass not only gets you access to the largest repository, the largest collection of radio show, of a single radio show anywhere. It goes back over a decade of the Phil Hendry Show, and these are some record-breaking, groundbreaking, record-grinding and ground-grinding and all the other things that you can do with records and ground, kinds of shows that can be yours to download. That's right. You can download these. You can listen to them to your heart's content. You can trade them with friends. You can, I don't know, you know, rub yourself. I'm just kidding about that.
Oh, that's a nice image.
I'm just joking. But, you know, enjoy them and also join us for our video cast, which we're having right now, as a matter of fact. Oh, and by the way, tonight, as well as last night, we kicked off this week streaming for your iPod and or your iPad and your iPhone. So right now, your mobile device, your iPhone device, your iPad can receive our video cast as well. So if you're out and about this evening, catch us live via the iOS stream. Very, very proud of that. Thank you very much, Bright Cove. Everybody working so hard. Molotov, everybody at LEG, me, you, you know, God, all of them. You know, Buddha, we've all pitched in, man, and made this thing happen. All right, with me is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, along with Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, a construction contractor. The dispute that is being that's being heard here, and we started this evening to talk about show jumping. And I just, if you don't mind, Jay, I just want to ask Steve, your daughter got into show jumping how, sir?
Well, she like everybody else, you know, we come into a little bit of money, and we bought a couple of these ponies that were otherwise going to be rendered, and that means that they were going to be, you know, essentially put down. And my daughter was very, very intent on wanting to learn how to do all of the different things that you do, you know, on a horse, because she had, she's got a lot of influence coming at her from the Corona, CK Corona school that she goes to, which is run by Erica Dorton. I don't know.
Yeah, we are familiar with Miss Dorton.
Well, you are familiar with her.
Yes, we are. We have been called out to the school, and I'm not going to get into it any further. She's not been guilty of any crime, I'm not saying that, but Miss Dorton exercises an unusual control over the people of that school. And my understanding is, Mr. Bowden.
My name is Bozell, sir.
His name is Stephen Bozell, Mr. Santos.
I apologize. That she has somehow controlled your movement of freedom of movement. Is that correct?
I don't want to get into that right now, but we've had incidences of that.
All right, so I am familiar. To answer your question, yes, I do know Erica Dorton, and I know of her. She is someone that we are familiar with.
Well, you see, this woman's the headmistress of a school.
Yes, we are aware of that.
And you make it sound like she's you know, in your filing cabinets over there at the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
She's an individual who's been, you know, who's been made aware of her. She's an individual her being has been shown to us. It's been shown to us. What's so funny?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Oh, I can hear him laughing, too.
What are you laughing at, Mr. Henry?
Nothing at all. I just... You mean she's an individual that you are aware of?
That's what I'm going for, yeah, right there.
She's a being who's been shown to us. It sounded almost like it was the Our Lady of Guadalupe.
I don't...
I'm not a Catholic, Mr. Henry, so that's not going to resonate too solidly with me.
All right. Look, let's just continue talking here. Now, we have, or he has, Mr. Bozell... Jay Santos has this tape of you, and we'll rack it up because we have the recording now, and this is a tape recording of Mr. Bozell as he was showing his daughter these different show writing techniques. He saw, and I hope we didn't lose our connection there.
Hello, Mr. Bozell? Yeah, or Bozell, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay.
All right, that's fine, bud.
Yeah, well, hold on. Yeah, Mr. Santos? Yeah. Yeah, you bet. Okay, was I too loud?
Little bit, man, yeah. What happened to our screen here?
What are you yelling at?
I'm yelling at you moron, with, yeah, hey, Mrs. Santos, hey. Hey, what happened to all of this, man? Get this take overlay off of there, man. I can't see what's happening here. All right, so in any event, thank you very much for that. Now, are those guys on the air or not?
We lost the connection.
Will you call them back, please? So we're going to play, while we're calling these chaps back, we will play for you the what's in dispute. Apparently, Mr. Bozell, when he saw Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police subcommanders jumping out of their van, he was frightened because they looked to him like they were getting out of a serial murderer's van. He was riding side saddle or something. I don't know. But apparently, as soon as he got out of this van, that is when Mr. Bozell became upset or disoriented and somehow let out this scream that caused, you know, caused him to let out this scream. So here is the recording that he had. Right there, you hear the, that's him as he's riding side saddle or showing his daughter to, showing his daughter how to ride side saddle in this particular, whatever it was, you know. All right, can we get these guys back on the line or what's going on?
Having a hard time right now. Okay, I've got, I got Santos.
Right, so Jay Santos, sorry, that recording, by the way, was made by, it was off of my helmet cam, if you told people.
Yeah, that's the other thing. This helmet cam that you had was also something that Mr. Bozell said was disorienting because he didn't know what the hell it was. He didn't know whether, you know, he didn't know what he saw. Okay, Mr. Bozell, is that you?
Yes, sir. Can I just say, you play that tape. You got to understand, he was getting out of a serial murderer van. He was, he had a thing on, he had a helmet, he had that device on his head that I thought, I didn't know what I was looking at. I didn't even know for about a half of a second to 2 seconds if it was, you know, if it was human, because...
All right, I understand. Hold on, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Behind me, if you're watching Phil TV in HD, you see the New York Times, the front page of the New York Times for this day, February 13th, 1900.
Hey!
Thanks, bud. Welcome to our second hour here. It is the world famous Phil Henry Show, and we are on online at philhenryshow.com with Phil TV in HD, just streaming the hell out of things, man. And tonight, as well as last evening, and we hope forevermore, we're available on all devices, all mobile devices, as our iOS stream is functioning handsomely. And the picture that you get on your iPhone, I don't know if you've got an iPhone, but I was looking at it. I haven't looked at it tonight, but last night, unbelievable. Beautiful clarity. You were looking at it, Margaret, right?
Yes, I was. And as a matter of fact, it is... It's a better picture, I think, than the desktop. I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is.
It's a lot clearer, that's for sure. So if you and also, you know, if you're not watching live, you don't have to. You can see it on demand tomorrow with your backstage pass. Just go to our member login area, and you go to recent shows, and you hook up, tonight's show, February 13th, and you'll see different selections there for the audio stream, for the audio download, and also for the video cast right there at philhenryshow.com. On the line with me, and these gentlemen have been nice enough to hold them, hold their appearance over, or hold themselves over here. Stephen Bozell and Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Now, Mr. Santos, to reintroduce our audience, because we're in a new hour, and I'm remiss in doing this. I really should not start the hour without introducing people to you again. You are with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, not an official police agency, correct?
Mr. Henry, I've explained that to you countless times.
Yes, but just for a new audience.
All right, for people who are tuning in for the first time, we are not politically connected to the police. We feel that we represent the citizens much better as a Citizens Auxiliary Police, where we're free. We don't have our hands tied. We're free to roam. We roam about. And we also spread out and do the things, in other words, that police agencies do.
Can I just ask you a question, sir?
Mr. Henry was asking me to explain.
No, I understand that, Mr. Bozell, but as you called it, I was interdicted, and that's what I've got you said that I got interdicted.
That is correct, sir, yeah. We said you were a subject of being, you had been interdicted.
Well, what does that mean, he was interdicted?
It means that we had discussed with him, he didn't get a ticket, we just talked to him. And told him.
Yeah, but you didn't give me a ticket, sir. But you recorded me, and you have now played it several times. Without my knowledge,
Well, that's something that I know is an actionable thing, recording somebody without their knowledge. Okay? And so I know that that is something that Mr. Bozell could probably bring some kind of a complaint for.
No, Mr. Henry, because as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, we simply recorded him for our own protection. That's the point that I'm trying to make, so that we would not be the subject of a lawsuit.
All right, well, let's cut through all of this, guys, because what we're talking about here is that Mr. Bozell was teaching his daughter Western-style writing or English writing or something having to do with show writing because his daughter was a big fan of that. He was then photographed. He was in shock when he saw you guys getting out of your van because it was a black van with blacked-out windows, and he had some fear that you were offenders or you meant some kind of harm.
Well, and we did not mean any harm. I came out with a helmet cam. We had the blue armbands on.
Well, I didn't know anything about it. Look, sir, I don't know anything about a helmet cam. I did not know what a blue armband represented. If I had simply recognized you as, and I don't mean anything by this, as a man, I didn't even see you as a man, you know, and I'm not offended by that, sir. You're not offended by that? No, sir. I mean, I can understand if you saw a helmet cam. Well, I know, but I just said I didn't even know you were a man, and you're not offended by that. No, sir, I'm not offended by it. Well, I mean, I'm glad, but to me, that would be the lowest cut. That would be almost like taking a pool cue. I can't even describe it. If someone said to me they didn't even recognize me as... If someone said to me they didn't even...
Slow down.
Yeah, slow down. Right. If somebody said to me they didn't recognize me as a man, that would be like taking the cue ball and just jamming it right in there. The cue ball off of a billiard table. You understand that?
Yes, sir, I understand that, but I recognize you didn't see me as a man. I think you said that you thought I was something from the gates of hell. I don't know what that means, but...
So you didn't recognize the helmet cam, and the sun was behind him, and you weren't quite sure what you were looking at. Is that fair, Mr. Bozell?
Yes, sir, that's what I mean.
Okay, let's move on past that. Now what we have is this man, Mr. Santos, moving up the hill towards you. At that instant, you were doing what?
At that instant, I was on the horse demonstrating to my daughter side saddle. And if you know anything about riding horses, it's not necessarily something that you want the whole world to know, that you're showing your daughter how to ride side saddle. And
why is that, sir?
Who's asking the question?
It's Jay Santa, sir.
Well, you asked me all kinds of questions that day on the hill. And that's always going to go down in my mind is that day on the hillside. Because that's how traumatized I was.
All right, let me ask you, what is embarrassing about the side saddle? I know that it's women ride side saddle, right?
Yes, sir. Women ride side saddle. There you go, bingo. And there I am in a pair of pants, and I got my legs squeezed together like because I'm showing my daughter how to be a lady about it. Okay.
Yeah, and you're not a lady. When you had your legs pinched together. And all I did was hit the Zoom, that's all, because I thought it looked a little funny, and I let Mr. Bozell know this, and he got very, very upset. I'm not making no comment on your manlyhood or anything having to do with that, sir. I simply said to the guys, hey, watch this, and I'd hit the Zoom. And, you know, it wasn't meant as anything.
Why did you hit the Zoom?
Because he squeezed his legs together like a woman, and then he you know... Then he screamed.
Yeah, see, that's it, Mr. Henry. This is why we filed a lawsuit to get possession of that tape. And so far, not only do I not have possession of it, I've been listening to this thing being played over and over again.
Well, I don't know.
Okay, now hold on. You are suing him to get possession of the tape. We've got the tape. I'm sorry, sir. I'm going to have to play it so people know what we're talking about, Mr. Bozell.
Well, okay, that's fine. I've been humiliated up one side, down the last.
Sir, this is evidence now. You're the one that called. You're the one that called a lawyer, not me. I didn't call. I didn't holler cop. You hollered cop.
I thought you were the cops.
We are a citizen. Nobody hollered auxiliary cop. Well, I.
You know something, Mr. Santos? One of the problems is your very confused status here. You're not a cop. You're getting out of a van that is painted black and does have blacked out windows, and I think that's very weird. And you're wearing a helmet cam. Here's a guy trying to show his daughter, so teaching his daughter something on a Sunday afternoon. Whether or not he was riding side saddle,
I thought it was funny to see a guy with a side saddle. That's all.
That's what I mean, Mr. Henry. All it is one solid assault on my manliness. All it is one saw, almost as if my manhood was a rack of billiard balls, and he's got the break. You understand what that means, don't you?
Yes, sir, I understand. All right, well, let's listen to what is in dispute. People have to hear what's in dispute. This is Mr. Bozell, and can we put the phones on hold for a second? But here is Mr. Bozell, as he did recognize the Citizens Auxiliary Police guys getting out of their van, coming up the hill. It took him by surprise. All right, so we'll play it one more time so that people can hear. This is Mr. Bozell. He's sitting there on a horse, side saddle. He sees the Citizens Auxiliary Police officers getting out of their van, moving toward him. And he lets out with that scream, and that is apparently what... All right, Mr. Bozell, you obviously heard that.
I heard that. I've been hearing it in my sleep, and I've been hearing it in my waking moments. I hear it when the guys at work laugh at me. I hear it when my son walks by me in the kitchen and goes, ah! And when my son, and God forgive me, but when my son did that, I had to beat him. Oh, I beat him bad. And why would you do that, sir? Why would I do that? Because a guy by the name of Santos played over and over and over on radio shows all over Los Angeles and everywhere else, me, after he comes walking up the hill looking like something out of the gates of hell.
So the lawsuit is being filed, and when is it going to be heard?
I understand. I got to get with my attorneys, Dolores Blazingame.
And hold on. And who is representing you, Jay?
I'm not going to hire a lawyer. We're going to let this thing play out because I don't think he's got a leg to stand on. And if he does have a leg to stand on, it's squeezed up tight with the other leg, right inside saddle. Good night, and have a very pleasant. Good night, gentlemen. Okay, all right, so you heard him, Mr. Henry, and I would like a tape recording, please. I'd like a tape recording.
Okay, Steve, just one thing, okay?
Please don't tell me to man up.
That's exactly what I'm going to tell you to do, to man the hell up, okay? As Denzel Washington said in Training Day, man up, dog, man up, you know.
Yeah, well, does anybody have Denzel Washington on tape sound like this? I don't think so.
Man up, dog. Or is that he's gone?
Yeah. Yeah, he just faded away.
He just faded away, huh?
Yeah, he was there for a minute. I was monitoring every second, and just gradually he just deteriorated into...
Well, a man like that, if I can call him a man, doesn't just hang up. He just comes apart.
All right, let's be kind, okay? Mr. Bozell obviously has some emotional issues that I don't know anything about, but we'll hear about the lawsuit to get possession of that tape that you just heard of him squealing... I shouldn't call it squealing.
Yeah, see, that's the thing that he's taking exception to. When his son come by and his son go, ooh, like that. That's your own kid doing that, you know.
Yeah, but he said he beat his son.
I don't buy that for a minute. I'm sure that he chastised the boy.
But I will tell you that he's probably taken enough ridicule. And this guy Santos running around as a cop. It's got to go. All right, we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Bobby Dooley coming up with a little interview with Margaret Gray on her forthcoming podcast that'll be debuting, I believe, next week. Mm-hmm, the Bobby Dooley podcast. You don't want to miss that. It's all ahead here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Famous Phil Henry Show. Now, in a few minutes here on The Truth Is Our Bitch Phil Henry Show, we will have Bobby Dooley joining us to talk about her new podcast. Margaret, what, you know, I never have asked you. You got no ego thing with that.
No, I don't have any ego. Look, I'm on your radio show every night. She's on a podcast. Now, I understand that potentially she's got 44 million listeners, and your radio show, who knows? And that hurts. It does.
Okay, do we have to run my ego into the ground, too?
Well, Phil, I'm just giving your audience... So, she has potentially... There's 40 million people that listen to podcasts in the United States. And that is growing by leaps and bounds. And as you pointed out to me, and I didn't know it, so I had to go and do the research, conversely, there are fewer and fewer people listening to the radio, and your show...
Okay, that's shot number two.
Yeah, but Mr. Henry, she's just trying to make the point.
I got the point already. And your show, why, there's probably not even one human being.
All right, you said it, I didn't. That's on you, not me.
Okay, Margaret, great.
But the point that I'm making is that I'm on a radio show every night with you. Bobby's doing her podcast. I think there's enough for everybody. There's enough to go around. Everyone gets well.
Wow.
Yeah, that sounds like a heroin addict or something.
Like a what?
Sound like a junkie.
Sound like the way the dealers talk in junkies.
The way the dealers... What are the two of you saying?
When you said everybody gets well, it's a drug term.
Oh, my ass. Would you... Look, you made me use a dirty word.
Miss Bray, all I'm saying...
I don't want to hear from you. I'm saying everyone gets well. We're going to give that a connotation of health and of positivity, and it no longer means that we're all getting a fix and we're going to get well and we won't be sick.
Well, all right. I mean, it's good. You're conversing with the terms, too.
You're conversing... Quit playing the little innocent, Phil. You know what we're talking about.
Well, I understand that. I'm sorry. I shouldn't even...
Yeah, just let it go, will you?
Fine, I'm letting it go. So, yeah, but I do agree with you. Bobby and you guys got no reason to fall. I'm very happy to hear that. Bobby Dooley, though, will be interviewed by Margaret Gray coming up. If students at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, can't get inside the heads of their rivals at Duke University, they can at least say they got inside the head of the Blue Devil mascot.
What's a Blue Devil?
That's the mascot of Duke.
Yeah. Yeah, but what is that? Yeah, what is a Blue... Is a Blue Devil...
It's a Blue Devil, man. I don't know what it is. It's a Blue Devil. I'm sure that it has some meaning.
Well, see, that's just it, Phil. You can say that it has some meaning, but what is it?
I don't know. I don't know the history of the Duke Blue Devil.
Is it a section of hell? And I'm not trying to be funny.
Is it a section of hell? What do you mean by that?
Well, like, is that place where the Blue Devil?
No, it's not a cooler area of hell. Is that what you're saying?
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying, is it like a ring?
No, it's not a ring of hell, man. I.
Well, if you don't know what it is, how do you know?
Are you guys trying to piss me off again?
No, just I wanted to know.
Don't start bawling, bud, okay?
Every time I want to know something.
He has the right to know, Phil.
Oh, does he have the right to know? He doesn't have the right to know every time I'm talking, he doesn't have the right to know.
But that lady said, man, she posted on Facebook. She said, all you ever do is argue with us. You ought to do the show and have more variety and everything.
Whatever that lady posted, I don't care, okay? I wouldn't be fighting with you guys if you didn't butt in and ask me, what's a Blue Devil? Is that a section of hell? Is it one of the rings of hell? I just want to know. And then there's all kinds of crying, and then I take crap from Margaret, and here we go again. I don't know what a Blue Devil is. Look it up, bud.
I'm looking up on Winklepedia.
That's it. Look it up on Winklepedia.
Well, what do you call it?
Wikipedia. And by the way, as I've often said, Wikipedia is not a good source of information. It is edited and it is written primarily by people that are internet users. There's nothing wrong with that. But oftentimes they don't source their material. They don't have footnotes for their material. It's a mess. All right. If students at UNC Chapel Hill can't get inside the heads of their rivals at Duke University, they can at least get inside the head of the Blue Devil mascot. On the verge of Wednesday night's basketball game, between the Tar Heels and the Blue Devils, you going to ask me what a Tar Heel is?
No, I know what that is.
You do? Well, why don't you enlighten all of us?
No, I better not say. It ain't got nothing to do with black people, man. Yeah, it does. No, it doesn't, man.
All right. I don't want to hear it. I better not say.
I'll belt you, man.
All right, easy, Robert. So, on the verge of Wednesday night's basketball game between the Tar Heels and the Blue Devils, the mascot head was reported stolen and posted above the UNC bookstore. It was stolen and posted above the UNC bookstore. A spokesperson for Duke confirmed that the mascot head was stolen and found on the UNC campus. Bookstore manager Kyle McKay tweeted a picture of himself posing with the head in the text, "Cops came and picked it up." UNC police came to recover the head and is investigating the theft with Duke University Police. Wow, there's some serious stuff going on with those campus cops over there, man. I'll tell you what.
Well, Phil, the campus police have, unfortunately, some very serious things that they have to look into these days, not the least of which was Virginia Tech.
I understand, Margaret. I'm not trying to minimize the... especially in conjunction with what happened at Virginia Tech. If you're thinking about what happened at Virginia Tech and they're just trying to get back a mascot head... You know, this kind of jazz has been going on for years. Now all of a sudden it's headline news. This is the thing I hate about this new era of information. Even the most trivial garbage is making national headlines, man. Next thing you know, some guy with a bad case of diarrhea is going to be, he'll, you know, if they're really running short of news, that's going to be the headlines.
Oh, don't be asinine.
I'm not being asinine. I'm being literal. Stuff that never would ever have made national news 5 years ago, 10 years ago, now it's all national news. Some guy knocks over an outhouse. I'll never forget that story as long as I live. That was a classic example of what I'm talking about. Some dude got into a fight with another guy, and they knocked an outhouse over. That was, in essence, the story.
That made national news.
And that made, in other words, something that probably happened daily for the first, you know, 150 years of the history of this country, an outhouse getting knocked over someplace, now it's national news.
Well, if you think about it, if it's that common, it should be national news, shouldn't it?
Well, why isn't a guy mowing his lawn national news then? Why isn't somebody going to the bathroom national news? Why isn't someone brushing their teeth national news? If it's that common, it should be national news.
Well, brushing your teeth is, if you think about the amount of money that's spent to advertise toothpaste.
Yeah, that is a point. And another thing, what do they call it?
What?
When you mow your lawn.
A lawnmower?
No. When you mow the lawn, no. What are you mowing?
You're mowing grass, man.
Yeah, I know that, but what is it that makes the grass grow?
Fertilizer?
No, the other thing.
Fertilizer seed.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Grass seed.
Jesus, bud. Why is it so tough with you, man? You talk about a commercial for grass seed.
Yeah, I couldn't think of it.
You couldn't think of grass seed? In any event, that is, that's a good point. It is very, very common, and it is so common that it's not really a news story so much as it is an item to sell for millions and billions and trillions of dollars. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Bobby Dooley and the Bobby Dooley Podcast. Margaret Gray will be joining us for this in-depth interview with one of America's most fascinating women, Bobby Roberta Dooley. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
There it is, bud.
That's not a very big headline.
We just, as I mentioned, you guys here at the El Pacifico in our video studio, as we videocast our games radio show as well as broadcast it. We show the New York Times front page from 1901, a president shot at Buffalo Fair.
Was that not a buffalo?
I tried to tell these guys, no, it was not buffaloes. It was Buffalo, New York.
Oh, well, you said Buffalo Fair. You talked about Indian.
No, I did not talk about Indians. No, it's not a Buffalo Fair. It was at Buffalo, New York, that poor President McKinley was shot, and that's the headline. If it ain't big enough for you, bud, talk to the New York Times, okay?
Yeah, don't they care in those days about President getting shot?
Yeah, they did, man. Lincoln got shot. They cared about that.
Well, they just didn't do headlines the way they do now.
Yeah, they were much smaller, and they didn't get into the whole banner headline thing for a couple more years. It wasn't much longer. Maybe, you know, 2-3 more years, then New York Times and other newspapers started to banner headlines, which was those big block letters across the top of a newspaper. But in those days, they still kind of kept them limited to a column or two, depending upon the news. I guess McKinley getting shot wasn't big enough news. I don't know. All right. Bobby Dooley is going to join us now from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, and Margaret Gray is on with us here. We're going to talk to Bobby, and I called her one of America's most fascinating women. Because I really think you are, Bobby. I think with the new podcast, you are entering a new era of celebrity, I guess. What do you think about that?
Well, Phil, it's very exciting, and we're very humble, Steve and I. We certainly, at the same time, wonder why it took so long, because we had been on your radio show for a long time, talking about the things that we are interested in and the things that we like to do, and no one ever called to say, not that they weren't interested, because they were interested, but we never got a call
of an offer that you felt was adequate.
What's that, Margaret?
Of an offer. You never got an offer you felt was adequate.
That's correct. We never got an offer that, as Margaret said, we thought was good.
Yeah, we got a lot of people call up, but I always told them, yeah, get out of here, get out, you know.
Steve's acting as my agent and business manager.
And how's that working out for you?
Well, why do you ask?
Well, I just wonder. Steve is not a professional. He's your husband, and sometimes that's good or bad.
Well, my husband loves me very much.
No, I believe he does. But sometimes that kind of professional-personal relationship.
Yes, no, I understand. I really don't know. How do you think you're doing, Steve, as my manager and agent?
I'm doing good. How I'm doing?
Yes, how do you think you're doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, way good. It's the people. See, I talked to the man that's going to do your podcast, and he doesn't understand or anything.
Okay, I want to jump in here, Steve. I know everybody over at Sideshow. They have a number of podcasts. They've got my podcast there. We're going to have the Milwaukee Lion podcast over there. They've got, my goodness, I believe Adam Carolla's, if not Adam Carolla's podcast. I know Adam is over with the guys at Launchpad. So there's a lot of podcasts over there. Rick Overton's, as I mentioned, and others. So I think Bobby's in very, very good good company there, and I think she's going to be served very, very well by the people over there.
Well, I wish they'd call me back and everything.
Well, we do want a couple of things that they have been very slow in providing, Phil. One of them is a car to the studio. Now, I understand that you said that you provided the car.
Yeah, we will provide a car. My company, which also, folks, is helping to produce the Bobby Dooley podcast.
So now I see how this is all shaking out. So this is one big happy family, isn't it?
Now, hold on, Margaret. You know, yes, and you're part of that family, too.
Margaret, what's the problem? Phil, you knew he was producing.
No, I did not know that you were producing. You're producing, and what else?
Margaret, it's none of your business. It's one of my things, okay?
Boy, ain't that a son of a...
What did she call me?
She didn't call you anything.
I didn't call you anything. I said, ain't that a son of a bitch? There.
God, what a mouth on that woman. Anyway.
Excuse me, would you put a leash on your husband, if you don't mind?
I don't need to put a leash on my husband, and I really don't think that is not necessary for you to talk that way. And I would ask you to apologize.
I don't think it was necessary either, Margaret.
All right, I'm sorry, but I'm very hurt.
What are you hurt by? I said I would provide a car for the Bobby Dooley podcasts for the guests.
Oh, for the guests.
Yeah, that Mr. Henry, you didn't say you'd get one for a Dooley.
For a Dooley?
Yeah, I said, you get one for any Dooley. Just a Dooley. A Dooley will do. And remember when I put that at the top of the napkin, a Dooley will do?
I thought you were drunk. We'd been drinking that afternoon.
Yeah, we had.
I had been sitting there drinking with Mr. Dooley to try to get everything made so that you wouldn't be angry and that Bobby would be taken care of. I told you at the time that we will send a car for the guests. We're not sending a car for Ms. Dooley because you told me you were driving your wife.
Well, I am, but I mean, you didn't even offer to. When I presented Dooley will do, you didn't even twitch or you didn't even show that you had a nervous twitch or anything.
Yeah, Steve told me, Phil.
I don't. What do you mean a Dooley will do?
Steve said, I'll do it, Steve. Steve said that was a part of the contract that you would provide a car for any Dooley. Okay?
Meaning like your sons?
No. Any adult.
So that would mean either you or Steve?
Yes, or if Steve's family came to visit. Well, still, it would just be me or Steve because not his family. My family, my sister, not my sister, but my father.
Okay, so three Dooleys, right?
Well, one... Yeah, it's not really a Dooley. He's a Dutton, my father. But when we said a Dooley will do...
Your father, so your maiden name is Dutton?
Yes, Bobby Dooley Dutton.
Yeah, Bobby, well, I didn't know that. Is that your name?
Okay, you know what? Hold on for a minute.
Don't you know your wife's maiden name?
Hold on for just a... Put him on hold, would you please?
Well, Phil, what is...
Okay. This is getting out of control. I want to talk about the podcast. I don't want to have any arguing.
What are you looking at me for?
I'm looking at you, Ms. Dooley.
You called me Dooley, you dirty Phil.
All right, sit down now. Hold on for just a minute. I'm sorry I didn't mean to call you Dooley. I'm saying that I called you Dooley by mistake. What I'm saying, Margaret, is simply this. I'm saying that I want this to get back to what it was all about, and that is she, would you please put her on hold, bud? What I'm saying is that, where are you going?
I'm sorry, I'm not sitting still for this.
Okay.
You lousy stick.
All right, go ahead, put Bobby on. Put her on, man.
Hey, Bobby, Bobby.
Yes?
There's a fire in the studio. I'm only kidding.
What is that? I don't understand that.
What was that?
Instead of put her on.
I'm going to kick your ass, I swear to God.
I don't appreciate that language, Mr. Henry.
Get out of here, bud. Bobby, as far as the car goes, so we can get back to talking about the podcast.
Where's Margaret?
She left.
No, I'm here, but I'm...
Well, I thought you left.
No, you play the chicken? No, you don't play any chicky game with me.
All right, well, here's what I want to ask you, Phil. First of all, are you sending me a car or are you not?
If you want a car, we'll send you a car. We were sending cars for other... Nobody's taking us up on the car offer. You understand that? We offered a car for everybody that's coming in to be a guest on your podcast, and no one has taken us up on it.
Hold on for a minute. Now. You got Sugar Ray Leonard, and you had Joel McHale. He's a big star, and they're not even going to get in a limousine?
It's not a limo. We offer a town car to pick them up and bring them over to the studio. No. Because they're all regular folks, okay? Sugar Ray Leonard was there. Patty Arquette, she drives herself. Joel McHale, he drives himself. People drive their own cars these days. We don't have that goofy, everybody needs a limo thing going on.
Oh, so that makes me petty, is that it?
No, it doesn't make you petty. It just means that nobody has taken us up on the car.
Well, we don't want a car either. But the minute anybody want a car, don't we want, you're going to want a car, okay? But any Dooley will do is going to hold in.
Yeah, any Dooley will do. Let's just say this, Steve. If you guys need a town car for whatever reason related to the podcast, we'll be happy to send one.
What does that mean exactly? Does that mean we'll get transportation?
Yes. Yes, that's what it means.
Any Dooley will do.
Forget about any Dooley will do. We're not even... I don't want to call it that because it sounds like a cartoon show. Okay?
As long as you understand what the parameters are, Phil. Because I was very offended when I heard that you had said, but they didn't want it.
No, nobody has taken us up on the offer of a car, and I'm sure that they won't. Oh, maybe one or two. All right, Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley joining us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we continue to talk here about the new Bobby Dooley podcast. Now, Bobby, before we take a break, tell me who we will expect to hear from in the first few weeks of the podcast.
Phil, we're going to have, very, very delighted to have, as you've mentioned, Tommy Chong, I thought it was the baseball player, and it's not. It's Tommy Chong.
What baseball player?
Tommy Chong was the baseball player.
Yeah, they had a surgery on a Tommy Chong.
You mean Tommy John?
I know. Tommy John. I thought that was the pot smoker.
No, Tommy Chong, and Tommy Chong is the comic who made marijuana smoking part of his act with Cheech Marin. Tommy John's the baseball player.
Right. So we interviewed him, but either way, I did say, I said, are you Tommy John? I said, are you the pot smoker or are you the bionic arm? And he was delightful. He just was delightful, Tommy John. We had a great time with him.
Well, what did he say to that?
Well, he didn't say anything. He just, he stared at me and...
Hey, Donald, a look on his face and said, are you stoned? Are you stoned? And he just, and he looked.
Yeah, he just looked at things. Just delightful. Interviewing Tommy Chong is like interviewing, I guess it's like interviewing a cat, the way they look at things, you know?
Yeah, he would just look at things like a cat. And then I said, do you want to have a car? Do you want to have a car? And he just stared at me.
It sounds to me like Tommy had a real ball with you guys just staring at you, huh?
Well, what does that mean? Does it mean that we're freaks?
It sounds a little bit like that, dear, that he thought you were freaks on a wheel.
Well, no, we're not freaks on a wheel. Excuse me, Margaret. You know, but Steve.
No, I. You're the one that started down this line, of discussion, that Tommy Chong was staring at you. Now think about it.
Yeah, you just think because he's staring at me that I'm a freak on ice skates, and that's not a case.
We don't think that was the case at all. We just thought that he was stoned.
Well, don't make those assumptions, all right? Don't just say, oh, Tommy Chong must be stoned all the time. The guy's a humorist. He's a comic. He's a satirist. And that is part of his satire. It doesn't mean he's walking around loaded any more than Foster Brooks walks around drunk all the time.
Who's Foster Brooks?
That's the sunglasses, right?
No, Foster Brooks is an old Las Vegas comic that did, he did a drunk. All right, we're going to take a break.
He did a drunk.
Yeah, I looked at Phil, too. What does that mean?
He performed as if he was drunk. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
God. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show in our final few seconds or minutes here with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley on the Bobby Dooley podcast. So what we have, Bobby, is you'll be kicking off with the aforementioned names. We're talking about Tommy Chong, Sugar Ray Leonard, right?
Sugar Ray Leonard was delightful, Phil. We interviewed him at great length. I just found him to be wonderful. He talked about his family. He talked about how he got the name Sugarman.
You mean Sugar Ray?
No, that blew it.
Go ahead. This is my husband, Steve. Go ahead. But, Steve, hold on a minute. Don't only talk when I tell you that you can.
What?
Only talk. Excuse me, Phil.
Go ahead.
Only talk when I say it's okay.
Okay.
Okay, go. Go. Your time's up. Phil.
Hold on. Steve wanted to say something.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say Sugarman. Not Sugarman.
Yeah, you blew it.
His name wasn't Sugarman. His name's Sugar Ray.
Is that what you wanted to say?
Yeah, I want to say his name's Sugar Ray, but we still have not been determined how he got that name.
Well, yes, it is determined, Steve. He got it from Sugar Ray. He got it from Sugar Ray. The group?
No, he got it from Sugar Ray Robinson. He was named Sugar Ray Robinson, was a prize fighter in the 50s.
That's exactly right, Sugar Ray Robinson. Who's Sugar Ray?
I don't know about Sugar Ray, but Sugarman with Danny Sugarman.
Steve, there's no Sugarman, and this is the argument we got into, Phil. Listen to the Bobby Dooley podcast. It'll be coming up. You'll hear me and Steve. And Steve is on the podcast. He was trying to talk to Mr. Sugar.
You mean Mr. Leonard?
I'm sorry, Mr. Leonard. And Mr. Leonard was being polite to Steve, but at the same time, he was looking at Steve like Steve was a freak on the wind, you know?
Well, no, he's looking at me like I was... freak on the wing. He looked at you, and you were a freak on the wing.
No, he did not look at me as if I was a freak on the wing. He said, you're delightful. Please call me Ray, remember?
Yeah, I did say that, Mr. Henry. He kept saying, please call me Ray.
Okay, all right, so we have Sugar Ray Leonard. That'll be fantastic. Now you also have Patty Arquette. Tell us about Patty Arquette.
Oh, Patty Arquette is amazing. She's a genius. I think she's a genius. She's a genius actress. She told us all about her sister, Rosanna, which I thought was very interesting because I would, if it was me and I was being interviewed on a podcast for the country to be hearing, I'd want to talk a little bit about myself. And she was very...
Yeah, she's talking more about Roseanne Arquette and everything else.
Yeah, and she was talking a lot about Roseanne Arquette, who, as you well know, Phil, is nowhere near as good an actress as Patty.
Don't say that. You don't... You know, I think they're both, they come from a phenomenal family of actors and actresses, correct?
Yes, they do, but I mean, why was she letting Roseanne get all the credit?
Because she's her sister and she loves her, I guess, huh?
Yeah, that's a point.
Yeah, and also she talked about the guy that was Captain Kangaroo.
Yeah, her grandfather was Captain Kangaroo.
No. Her grandfather was Cliff Arquette, the comic. Charlie Weaver.
Yes, that's right, Phil. Oh, that was interesting. She said that my grandfather was on the radio, and he was Charlie Weaver, right?
Yeah, Charlie Weaver on Hollywood Squares.
Yeah, I remember seeing Charlie. A lot of people remember seeing Charlie Weaver, and that was the character that he played, Charlie Weaver, which was kind of an old-timer guy with glasses. And the actor's name was Cliff Arquette. And then the father, Patty Arquette's father's who? Louis Arquette?
Yes, Louis Arquette and another actor. And then her brother, David Arquette. So quite an interesting family. Very liberal. And I didn't approve of that. And I told her, I said, you know, Patty, I love you, but I don't approve of you. And I know it sounds funny, but that's just the way it's going to be. I love you, but I do not approve of a thing about you. So would you please get out? And she said, all right. And she was very polite. And I said, I'm only kidding. And she said, okay. And she sat down. But she didn't laugh. And
well, I don't blame her. I wouldn't laugh at that either.
What are you talking about, Mr. Hammond? It's really cool and everything.
I thought it was very funny. I said, are you kidding? I said, get out. And she said, certainly. And she collected her things. And I said, I'm only kidding. And then she still didn't laugh.
What's funny about that? You probably humiliated the woman. All right, so...
No, I did not humiliate... Get you, Mr. Henry. You are...
Well, I'm the guy that's providing the car, okay?
So that's how it is, huh?
So that's how it is, huh?
No, that's not how it is. All right, so who else?
Oh, that's not good enough for you?
No, that's fine, but who else do you have? You've got Tommy Chong. We talked about Sugar Ray Leonard. We talked about Patty Arquette.
And we have Joel McHale coming up. He is going to be delightful.
Joel McHale, funny guy, funnier than hell.
Yeah, he's really funny, and we want to be on the show if Bobby can come walk in and stuff.
Yeah, we want to get it so that Joel will have me come in and do some of the stick that he do or that he does. You know, Phil? You know?
Well, what, you mean when he has like different actors?
Yeah, a lot of times on the soup, on Comedy Soup, he'll have an actor come out.
We want him to do stick with us.
Well, you know, that's up to him, and it's up to his producers, and I'm sure that if you talk to him, I'm sure that he'll, you know, he'll enjoy the, you know, I don't know. I don't know how they do it.
Well, so what are you hemming and hawing for? You're saying we're not good enough? You say we don't rate, huh?
Yeah, well, don't we rate?
Don't we rate?
I'm not saying you don't rate. I don't produce the show. I can't tell you. Maybe he will have you on. I will say this. It's not called stick.
It's called what?
Isn't it called stick?
Shtick. Shtick.
Oh, it's Jewish. Yeah, Jewish. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Jewish.
Yeah, Jewish. Yeah, Jewish.
God, what a weirdo.
You are the strangest woman in the world. You know that?
No stranger than you, Margaret.
No, really. Sitting there going, Jewish, Jewish. I have a Jewish husband. Do you mind?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean anything. I meant to say it sounds like...
Well, not like Jew talk. Or not Jew talk.
Just quit while you're ahead, okay? Did you mean Yiddish?
That's it, Yiddish, yeah.
Because Yiddish is sort of Germanic, yes. It sounds Yiddish. Shtick, not stick. All right, so, Bobby, we're looking forward to that, the Bobby Dooley podcast.
Why wasn't Margaret asking any more questions? Are you afraid?
No, the day that I'm afraid of you is the day that hell freezes over, the nuns go ice skating with the devil.
Whatever.
All right. Thank you very much, Bobby and Steve.
Yeah, all right, Mr. Henry. Don't forget, Bobby Dooley, the Bobby Dooley podcast is going to be on. And remember, Mr. Henry, any Dooley will do it.
All right. We'll be right back with more of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget the Bobby Dooley podcast debuting next week at a podcast directory near you. iTunes. iTunes, baby. iTunes.
No, it's not stick.
No, it's not stick.
Any Dooley will do.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we are here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is the National Truth Is Our Bitch Tour show, your official Truth Is Our Bitch Tour show, and our one-man show is in rehearsal, and it's coming to a theater or to a back alley or to a dumpster. It's coming to something near you real soon.
Well, that's not a very good way of promoting it. Where are you going to be... What do you have in mind? What are the venues?
I don't want to say.
Phil, you've got to start talking. What are the venues? Theaters? I see you in a small theater.
I see you. That's like intensive care unit, but also...
Yes, isn't that funny? That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you, bud.
Yeah.
I see you, not the intensive care unit, but I see you, Phil, in the small theater. I see you playing colleges... I think your audience will be intimate, hip, oh, I don't know.
Well, thank you very much. I can see you've given it a lot of thought.
Well, I haven't given it enough thought, but I will.
Okay, great. Well, when we're ready to talk about that, we'll be ready to talk about that. But nonetheless, it's been a lot of fun. We also, of course, the Phil Henry podcast available on iTunes, the Bobby Dooley podcast rolling out next week. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you have access to all of the raw material. Basically, if you look at the Phil Henry Show as a, it's like a jewelry store, you have access through your backstage pass to the diamond mines in South Africa where all the slaves work.
All right. Yay.
Don't applaud that.
Why'd you say that, man?
I don't know. It just came out. Sorry.
My God. What do you mean where all the slaves work?
Well, you know full well, Margaret, that the diamond, the commerce in diamonds is rife with the enslavement of humans and you know, all that jazz.
No, I don't know that. No, I don't. No, I'm sorry. I don't know that.
Well, I think you need to get...
Why do you think they call it blood diamond?
What?
Why do you think they call it blood diamond?
They call it a blood diamond because of the color.
No, not exactly. Blood diamond represents diamonds that have been extracted by slave labor. So,
well, I mean, I thought slavery was illegal.
We're not talking about America now. We're talking about, and I don't even think it's legal in South Africa. I think that this is, I don't know. It's only now really getting full play and exposure, if you'll, I almost said explosion. It's getting full play and explosion and exposure, and the things that have been done down through the years to get diamonds out of the rocks and the substrata of southern Africa. And it's not been very pretty. So, you know, diamonds are beautiful. As the lady once sang, diamonds are forever.
Yes, I don't need love. I don't need a man. What will a man do for me? A diamond will never lie to me. You can undress a diamond and something else.
Yeah, that's the lyrics to that song.
What are you talking about, getting undressed and everything? That's gross.
Would you shut up? I'm talking about the song.
All right, easy. We don't want to piss off that lady that said that I do too much arguing with you guys, and,
Yeah, you know what, lady? Wherever you are, why don't you go ahead and pound it back, right back up where you... Wherever you got that comment, go right ahead and stick it back up in there.
What an animal. That was the most... That was the most anti-feminine thing I could possibly imagine you to say.
There you go, bud.
I was only defending you. She's probably talking about how boring you are.
No, she's talking about you.
Easy. The story of the Duke mascot, we were asking where the Blue Devil came from. Wasn't that what you were asking about, bud?
Yeah.
Okay, here it is. The story of the Duke mascot. During World War I, the Chasseurs Alpines were well-known French soldiers. They were nicknamed Les Diables Bleus. Okay? They first gained attention when their unique training and alpine knowledge was counted upon to break the stalemate of trench warfare in their native region of the French Alps. This is in World War I.
What?
What's this got to do with a duke?
Yes, what does this have to do with basketball?
Will you allow me to finish? It obviously has something to do with it, because this was on the Duke University website. This is the explanation of the Duke mascot, the Blue Devil.
I told you it's about hell.
It ain't about hell. It's about World War I. That's pretty close. It's about soldiers. So the Chasseurs Alpines, nicknamed Les Diables Bleus, were well-known French soldiers. These are mountain soldiers. They're like our mountain division in our army. These were the French mountain soldiers. They were in the French Alps, which is in the southern part of the country, and they were battling the Italians and Germans down in were the Italians? No, they weren't fighting the Italians in World War I.
Yeah, the Italians were a little confused. Whose side were they on, anyway?
The Italians were on our side in World War I, and they were on the German side in World War II, if I remember. All right. They first gained attention when their unique training and alpine knowledge was counted upon to break the stalemate of trench warfare in their native region of the French Alps. Unfortunately, in the Vosges campaign in March 1952, it failed to alter the status quo, even though the Blue Devils won accolades for their courage. However, their distinctive blue uniform with flowing cape and jaunty beret captured the public's imagination. When the United States entered the war, units of the French Blue Devils toured the country, helping to raise money in the war effort. Irving Berlin captured their spirit in a song describing them as strong and active, most attractive, those devils, the Blue Devils of France.
Oh, my, that was Irving Berlin.
Who's he?
He wrote a bunch of songs. He was a famous songwriter. As the song was ending in Europe, the Trinity College Board of Trustees lifted its quarter-century ban of football on campus. After playing an intramural class schedule for 1 year, Trinity began intercollegiate competition in 1920. Just don't ask, Bud, okay?
But they call it Trinity. It's supposed to be Duke.
Quit getting a baby about it, okay, man? I'll get to it. Maybe they renamed the school.
Bob at the same school.
What are you crying for?
Well, why did you say he's getting a baby?
Sounds to me like he's going to give birth to a baby in 5 seconds. Take it easy. After playing an intramural class schedule for 1 year, Trinity began intercollegiate competition in 1920. That first year, the traditional nomenclature of the Trinity 11, the Blue and White, or the Methodists, as opposed to the Baptists of nearby Wake Forest, described the team. What?
Don't think, Phil. Just read.
Sorry. In September 1921, the student newspaper, the Trinity Chronicle, launched a campaign for a catchy name, one of our own possession, that would be instantly recognizable nationwide in songs, yells, and publicity. At a campus pep rally to stir up enthusiasm, it was pointed out that Georgia Tech was gaining recognition as the Golden Tornadoes, and that rival North Carolina State College had recently adopted the name Wolfpack. There were numerous nominations, including the Catamounts, Grizzlies, Badgers, Dreadnoughts, and Captains, which is in honor of the well-liked coach W.W. Cap Card. Believing a choice this is going on forever, man, okay?
Well, I just got it from the French.
Yeah, let's just say they got it from the French.
Well, wait a minute. Are you going to read that or not?
I'm not going to read 18 chapters of this crap. They got it from the French because they had these guys with blue hats.
In other words, they got it from a bunch of guys that walked around looking like they ought to be in a... God, man.
What?
What's the matter?
They got their name from a bunch of guys all going, ooh. You know what they got their name from? A bunch of guys that basically sounded like this if they saw a guy get out of a van.
Oh!
That.
What are you trying to say, anyway?
I think you know.
Oh, I see. So they're effeminate because they wear blue. Do you know that Phil's favorite color is blue?
Sorry to hear that.
What's that supposed to mean?
No comment.
Oh, I get it. So blue is not manly, is that it?
I don't think it's the manliest of colors, no. I can think of a few more manly ones.
Like what?
What?
Like how? What color is more manly?
Brown. Any color, I hate to say it, but just brown. I'm comfortable with brown.
Why are you comfortable with brown, or do I need to ask?
Because
it's the color of waste, is that it?
And I think that's manly, yeah.
So, Bud, you're so homophobic.
I'm not homophobic.
Yeah, you are. You're so homophobic that anything that even smacks of gay, you don't like blue, you like brown. You're comfortable with the color of crap.
Yeah, that's because your brain made of crap.
No, not at all. Just I'm comfortable with it. Why, is there something wrong with being comfortable with brown and yellow?
Brown and yellow. God. Wow.
Woo, man.
Anything that just reminds you of excrement and waste, you're just fine with that, huh?
I think you're on a safe side then, yeah.
Well, Bud, there's nothing effeminate about the color blue unless Phil's wearing it. I'm sorry, Phil, I'm only kidding.
Ha
ha ha. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. More news to report on. Weird stuff happening all across this fruity country of ours. Horse meat scandal exposes a very complex food chain. In London, a horse meat scandal. Get a load of this, man. Does it lead to your dinner table? Maybe. I'm kidding. And a Red Sox prospect shoots himself in the leg. Some dumbass kid that signed with the Boston Red Sox shot himself in the leg. Ha 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 ha! Boy, that's funny. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show. Not anymore. We are strictly just bat, bat, bat. We're just a talk show, man, now. We're not the news talk label we've dropped because it's poison. It's poison. I'm not calling this thing no news talk show. No way, man.
Well, why are you saying that?
Because it's just not going to be a news talk show. And we'll get David Hall on for a few seconds here to talk about this, as we've been meaning to, as a matter of fact, because, David, you know that News Talk is finished, right?
You know, Phil, when you say News Talk is finished, I would ask you to consider that there are stations that you're on, how many I don't know, that still call themselves News Talk stations.
Well, but am I not entitled to an opinion? Am I not entitled to not only express an opinion, but express an informed opinion?
Well, you're entitled to express an informed opinion, but when you say that News Talk is finished, you make people think that it's finished across the board. You know that it's still very viable at the local level.
I said that. I said that local News Talk shows are doing very, very, very well, but national shows are not. And so when we began doing our show, we said we're a News Talk and entertainment show. Really, what this show is about is humor, and it's about entertainment, and it's about just a whole lot of weird stuff like that. So I don't even need to pretend any longer that we do News Talk.
Well, there was a period of time when you were doing your show way back in the day when you needed to say it was a talk, you know, a News Talk show. So you were giving a sort of a veneer to the satire that you were doing. But now that people are deserting, advertisers are deserting News Talk, I suppose you don't have to use that label any longer. But I would just hasten to add, it isn't because people don't want to talk about things in the news.
Well, it may not be because people don't want to talk about things in the news, but it is because advertisers are deserting because they're tired of the controversy, they're tired of the boycotts, they're tired of the this, that, and something else, and they're going to sports radio.
Yes, they're going over to sports radio. I think what they want is anything that isn't News Talk. What they're looking for is what is not controversial. They'll go to anything that's got ratings that is not going to cause a problem. They'll go to anything that's got ratings that isn't going to create a problem for them. For instance, somebody calling them up and saying, we're going to boycott your product because we don't like the so-and-so show because, you know, he said this or he said that. So, you know, that's what we're dealing with right now. And
so what you got to figure on is that entertainment now is the name of the game in talk radio. It isn't so much having some bullcrap political opinion.
What do you call it, bullcrap?
Because the political opinions in talk radio were never real anyway. You know that as well as I do. So it isn't about dummying up some political opinion. It's about having a radio show or having a talk show where the primary focus is entertainment, sports.
Sports is something that the regular rank-and-file programmer and general manager can understand, yeah.
They can, now, do they understand comedy?
No, they don't.
Yeah, and I didn't think so.
But yes, they do, but they're afraid of it because they're taking their cue from the advertisers. And, of course, the advertisers are taking their cue from them.
Well, if an advertiser is waiting for the manager and the program director of a radio station to tell them, now here's a real safe bet for your advertising money, and he says it's sports.
He's saying it's sports because the advertiser was investing in sports, but they were investing in sports because they were told. You see what I'm saying?
So it's the same dumbass.
Well, it's not dumbass. It's at least as far as the advertiser goes, there might be a little bit of dumbass when it comes to the radio people.
Well, we're getting back to the same problem here again, okay? So we got advertisers, and all they're asking for is a place to put their money where they can advertise what it is that they've got, and they can do this in a, you know, in a safe manner, and they're looking at the station and say, well, what do you got? And the station says, well, we've got sports radio.
Right.
Couldn't they easily say that we also have a humor show, or we have a guy that does shtick, or we've got, you know?
Well, they could, but that means they've got to explain it, and they're not. I'm just telling you, Phil, from my experience, what's the easy thing to do as opposed to what is suicidal? And,
All right, what's the easy thing for you to do?
What's easy for me to explain to a radio station to say to them, this is a good bet, it's a comedy show, and...
Do they think that that's controversial?
I don't think they think comedy is controversial. I think they think dirty words, but sports... You can't go wrong.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Kyle in Denver, Colorado. Kyle, you're on a Phil Hendry show here with David G. Hall.
Hey, hi, Phil. Hi, David.
How you doing, Kyle?
Hey, I'm real good. I wanted to, first of all, thank you, Phil, for doing such a great show. And we enjoy it here in the Rocky Mountains. And I want to ask David, do you know a guy by the name of Tim Hardaway? Not the basketball player, but a... radio host,
Tim Hardaway. There was a basketball player named Tim Hardaway.
No, not him, but he was a radio host. He did a sports show, It might have been him, now that I think about it, because it was a sports show.
Well, was it? But you don't know, huh?
Well, it was a basketball show, and it was Tim Hardaway. Yeah, it might have been the basketball player, but I don't think it was, because he kept talking about buying his suits at the short man store, and they had a sponsor for a long time. They had the tall and portly sponsor, and then they went to a short man store, a place called Helmsley's, in downtown Denver. People would know, do you know this guy Hardaway?
You don't think it was a basketball player?
No, I don't think it was the basketball player. It might have been the basketball player.
But it was a sports show, sir?
Yeah. For the third time now, it's the sports show.
Sir, don't get upset with me. I'm trying to figure out who it was. It was a sports show, and you said it was a basketball show.
Yeah, it was a basketball show. It was an NBA at a glance or NBA review show or something with Tim Hardaway.
But you don't think it was the basketball player because of the sponsor?
They had a sponsor, yeah, a Helmsley short man store where they sold suits, I guess, to small men. They size, I don't know the sizes, but they had them for guys anywhere from 4 foot to 5 foot two or something like that. So that's why I didn't think it was Hardaway as a basketball player, right? If that was him, right?
Well, it could have been Tim Hardaway just having a sponsor for short men's suits.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Well, no, because he said he did all of his shopping there. And,
well, he could be. He might have had a deal with the sponsor. He said, I do all my shopping at a short man store. But you're right, it wouldn't make much sense.
That's not going to make any sense if it's Tim Hardaway, the basketball player, who's a big, tall guy, and he says he buys all of his suits.
Yeah, no. I don't think it was the basketball player. I think you guys are wasting time with that. I don't think it was, because the guy that did this show was just to that point, said that he bought all of his suits at this short man store called Helmsley's. And they don't have anything there for anybody bigger than 5 foot one, 5 foot two.
Babe, got eyes of blue is what I was going to say later. That was what I was going to say later on.
I'm sorry?
Hold on for a minute. What?
The eyes of blue.
Never mind.
What did he say about eyes of 5 foot two, eyes of blue? That's not talking about the song. I'm talking about a short man store where he sold suits for guys that were 4 feet tall.
Yeah, but on up to 5 foot two.
On up to 5 foot two, yeah. But the reason why I called your show now, I'm tired. I've got a chest pain and I'm tired.
Okay, sir, don't fool around with that. Do you need to sit down?
I do. God, you guys get me so aggravated. I called up Mr. Henry.
I apologize, Kevin. I really do.
I called up to know if Mr. Hall knew this host. I really like this sports show, and it might be a sports show that Mr. Hall could handle and make it a national show. But you guys got me so aggravated, and now I got chest pain.
I'm awfully sorry, sir.
I apologize, too. That's all right. But anyway, if you guys find out who that is, could you tell me? I mean, would you make an announcement? I don't want to call back.
No, we will. I promise. Kevin, take care of yourself, and I apologize for getting you aggravated.
No, it's all right.
Okay, what the hell was that? All right, David, we're going to take a break here. I'm a little just... That was a very distressing thing.
Yeah, that man didn't sound like he was doing well.
Well, I'm sorry that I don't know who Tim Hardaway, the radio host, is. I know the basketball player, and I think it's a logical conclusion that it was not the basketball player, since this guy buys his suits at a short man store.
We explained all of that to the guy, but he...
All right, well, find out who he is or was. We'll be back with David Hall here as we continue talking about sports radio, and the death of News Talk. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll go to another phone call. Here we have David G. Hall on the line with us. David is at his home in South Pasadena as we talk about the so-called death of news talk and the emergence of sports radio and what that's going to mean, you know, in the overall. Here we'll go to Sylvia now in Carson. Sylvia, on the Phil Henry Show with David G. Hall. Go ahead.
Oh, hello, Phil. I listen to your program every night. I enjoy your program a lot. Thank you for taking my call this evening.
You're welcome, Sylvia.
You give me so much delight to listen to you.
Thank you.
Did you, Phil, and Mr. Hall, good evening to you, sir.
Yes, Sylvia, good evening.
Phil, did you see a story? You were mentioning this baseball player, Brent, who shot himself in the Boston Red Sox camp. You saw that story?
Yes, I was going to talk about that. This is a Red Sox prospect by the name of Bryce Brent, who was, I think, cleaning a gun, and it went off, and he shot himself. And now he's with, I believe, one of the Triple. I think he's with the Triple A ball club, the Pawtucket Red Sox, or whatever club that is the Red Sox have in Triple A baseball. But he is going to miss big league camp.
You know, the reason why I wanted to speak to you about this is if you make me laugh sometimes when you talk about the. How stupid, you know, some people are, but I love baseball and to listen to baseball. Do you think that this man, this Brent is, this is too stupid a man to play baseball if he clean a gun like this, you know?
And we're talking about, we're not really talking about baseball, we're talking about sports radio.
I understand that, Mr. Hall, but I'm speaking to Mr. Henry right now, if you don't mind.
Yes, ma'am.
What do you think of that, Bill?
That the guy is too stupid to play baseball?
Yeah, so the man was
sounds like he is too stupid to me.
Did anyone ask you?
I beg your pardon?
Did anyone ask you, Mr. Hall? No one asked you. I'm talking to Mr. Henry. You're...
Okay, we don't need to be rude, though, Sylvia. You know...
I know, but this man, he's just... I don't want him anywhere around me. I don't want to listen to him. So what do you think?
I think that this guy, Brents, is an idiot. I think he's a moron. Do I think he's qualified to play baseball? I don't know how many brains you need to play baseball.
Well, I don't think a guy is going to clean a gun with a round in the chamber. This is not smart at all. I don't think he's even smart enough to execute a hit and run. I don't even think he can read the signs from the catcher. I don't know what position he plays, but he is someone that is handicapped. I think he's a mentally handicapped.
Well, it was a stupid thing to do. He's cleaning a handgun. For those of you that don't know, this kid, Bryce Brents, playing for, I think, a Triple-A farm club of the Boston Red Sox, was at home cleaning a handgun. There's a round in the chamber. It goes off. The press release or the statement from the Red Sox said that it went off accidentally, and as somebody pointed out, there's no such thing as an accident when it comes to guns. They don't trigger spontaneously. He was cleaning it. And the gun went off. He shot himself. It's not serious. Apparently, he's going to recover, but he's going to miss big league camp. I think it's about the dumbest thing you can do. I don't think the guy's qualified to own a gun. I think they ought to automatically, if something like this happens, I think they should make it so that you are denied the right to own a gun for a certain number of years. What do you think?
Mr. Henry, that is the most, I think that is absolutely what is needed here.
I need to step in here, Phil.
I asked you not to say nothing. If you talk, I'm going to hang up. I think that's absolutely right, Mr. Henry, and you are right. Please, this Mr. Hall, I don't like him. I don't like listening to him. I don't like him at all. You keep his mouth shut if I'm on the show here. Thank you, Phil.
All right. Thank you very much, Sylvia. 877. Wow. 877-876-PHIL. All right, David.
That was uncalled for, I thought, and you could have defended me a little bit and stood up for me. Here I got this old lady.
Well, she didn't want to talk to you. She wanted to talk to me.
Yeah, I know she wanted to talk to you, but I'm the guest, and you should direct the questions to me so that I... you know, do you understand what I'm saying? And
Hold on, what? Sylvia?
What did I tell you? Did I tell you something or not?
You're not running this show.
Hold on. Hold on. Sylvia, you're done.
Just tell his ass to stay off of the show.
Is she still there?
No, we cut her off. You've obviously pissed her off for some reason. I don't know what it is, but you've obviously...
I've obviously what? I didn't do anything. I'm on the show and I'm talking.
She just doesn't like the sound of your voice. She doesn't like your attitude. You know?
What attitude?
Well, I don't know. Whatever that attitude may be. Maybe she doesn't like suits the way I don't like suits.
I told you, don't call me a suit. I'm not a suit. I wear a leather jacket. I wear jeans.
You try to look like you're what, air talent?
I don't try to. I think I do. Look, Bill, you know, I came on here to talk about the I came on here to talk to you about...
Hold on.
Hold on, not this...
Hey, what did I tell you? I tell you to shut your mouth. I said...
Okay, that's all we need from then, bud.
Yeah, hold on. So Phil's going to hang up now because you're pissing people off. God, he's yelling at me.
Give me that. Hey, David, I can't have you on anymore because I want to move on, okay? Huh? I want to move on. I don't know. I just want to move on. I don't know what her problem is. You're bugging everybody, okay? So I'll talk to you later, okay? I'll talk to you later. Yeah. I'll talk to you later. You! Oh, my God.
What's his problem?
I'll talk to you. I'll talk to later.
Let me talk. Give me that. David, it's Margaret. Hi. Phil will talk to you later. Phil is going to talk to you later. He's not talking to you now. What? Yes, we're going to have... Yes, we are, but we're on the air right now. Phil Hendry, the host of the show...
Are you kidding me? Give me that.
Wait a minute. You giving me.
Give me it. David, I'll talk to you later. Me, Phil Hendry, I'll talk to you later. This is Phil. Phil! And I'm saying that I'll talk to you later. I can't talk to you, Bud.
Hey, Mr. Hall. Hey, it's Bud. Yeah, well, they'll talk to you later. Okay, see ya.
Are you kidding?
What did you say?
I said, I'll talk to you. They said, they'll talk to you later. And you said, Margaret and Phil? I go, yeah. He said, okay.
Well, what was causing him not to understand it when we were talking to him?
I don't know. You guys are always yelling at him and everything and had that lady and everything.
Wait a minute. I said, I'll talk to you later, and he didn't know who...
Never mind.
Dave, like, I got some magic code. I talk normal like a normal human being talk.
No, you don't, man. That's one thing you don't do. You don't talk like a normal human being talk. That's for sure. What about this guy, anyway?
You know, think about this guy, Brian Sprint, man. He had a gun. He had a loaded a round in the chamber.
He had a round in the chamber. He had a round in the chamber, and he was cleaning the gun. And the, I'm telling you right now, I think that the law should say, if you are such a knucklehead that you shoot yourself while you're cleaning your gun, that a bullet comes out of that gun and strikes you, and you survive it, I think you should have your right to own a weapon stripped from you for a number of years. Because not because you should have any kind of civil... I mean, I realize it's a right, a constitutional right, but... You need to have that seriously abridged, man, if you don't even know enough to clean a gun after having emptied the gun of any and all bullets. Now, the editorial spin on this, I think this is very interesting, from Yahoo. The guy says, there's no good way to spin this for Brents. If the story we have been told is the entire truth, he's being careless with a loaded firearm. It's incredibly dangerous. If there's more to it and he was goofing off or somehow inebriated, well, it's just that much worse. Regardless... This is one of those things where the wise old man would say there's no such thing as an accident. It was a handgun Brents was trying to clean, Scott Lauber, the Boston Herald, writes. Lauber added that Charrington said the Red Sox don't have a policy against players legally owning handguns, though such a policy might be tough to enforce if it did, Second Amendment, and so on. Hopefully the incident scared Brents into remembering the first rule of gun cleaning, make sure the weapon isn't loaded first. That also might be the second and third rule of gun cleaning. What a moron.
Well, you don't want this to be the occasion or an excuse for just calling someone a moron.
No, I think you do. I think you do. I think you absolutely do, you know. Because I'm a guy, I believe in gun rights. But when gun rights are so flippantly taken in such a cavalier way that no one really exercises responsibility with those rights, then you got to point it out. That's what I think, anyway. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, and online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Our backstage pass entitles you to listen to thousands of hours of full and complete Phil Hendry radio shows that are among the funniest that have ever been recorded, ever been made, ever in the history of man on this planet. Yes, there have been people up and down the dial, people across the ages that have become fans of the Phil Hendry Show. Why don't you do it, too? Just get a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com, and you will have access to those thousands of hours of archived material, podcasts, webisodes, live videocasts, recorded videocasts, on-demand material of all kinds available to you there. And for only $9.95, man. And for just as Jack Nicholson said in the last detail, meatball sandwich, and for 50 cents. Well, not the same thing, but just as good. So go to philhendryshow.com.
Get a meatball sandwich.
Get a meatball sandwich, then go to philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
You sold me out, and I'll never forget it.
Good. Don't forget it, okay?
What?
Don't forget it.
I'll never forget it.
Good. Don't forget.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And for the first time in many a moon, we're very, very happy to have on the line with us from New Orleans, Louisiana, where I guess essentially he's been hanging since the... maybe since the Super Bowl. I don't know really whether or not, you know, you've been there, Joe, since the Super Bowl. But I know that you were down there for the game. Joe Dickhead joining us from New Orleans, Louisiana. And how you doing, Joe?
Well, I'm doing great. And the city that can't forget, or the Big Tuesday, whatever they call it, Fat Tuesday or something, is doing very, very well as a result of another successful Super Bowl down here. I know you're a former resident of New Orleans, and I was saying hello to everyone on your behalf, although nobody in New Orleans has ever really heard of you. And I don't mean that to be an insult, but it's been a long time since you've been on the air here, hasn't it?
1978, yeah, so, you know.
Yeah, I told them that you worked at a rock and roll station, and they said, that's great. And, you know, and then I went back to what I was doing, which was getting people drinks, because we've been having a party here kind of nonstop the last 3 days here in the Joe Dickhead and the Professor Suite, because, you know, we're going to be churning up a lot of our picks for the basketball season, hockey, baseball, and, of course, the football season.
Now, we haven't had your NFL picks for a number of years. Are you going to be exhibiting those again next season?
We will be doing the NFL picks we're doing for your website, and also we'll be doing the Phil Hendry Football League picks. And in conjunction with the Milwaukee Lions and some of the teams in the PHFL. The big news here in the Big Easy, Phil, though, is Joe Flacco and what a jackball this guy turned out to be. Joe Flacco is a man that's taken a great deal of grief over the years, Phil, from a great many people. Joe Flacco, he wants to be considered an elite quarterback. I like to use the word elite because that's how you mispronounce a word like elite. And Joe Flacco is the kind of dumbass that would mispronounce that word. Now, Joe Flacco, Phil, is a guy that on the sidelines at the very end of the Super Bowl was saying to his head coach, I think we ought to run out onto the field and tackle Ted Ginn if he breaks loose. Now, understand that the Baltimore Ravens had just yielded a safety so that they could get field position on the San Francisco 49ers there toward the end of the game.
Right. Can I just jump in, Joe?
Go ahead.
Sam Koch was punting the ball as the result of that safety.
Right. This was the free kick that the 49ers are going to get as a result of the safety, and that's what they got. And so Koch kicks the ball. Now, the 49ers have one of the best return men in the business in this kid, Ted Ginn Jr. Ginn takes the ball. Now, understand something, that Joe Flacco is on the sidelines, and he's talking to anybody that will listen to him. He's saying, what if he breaks it? What should we do? Now, he even went to Coach John Harbaugh. I don't think he said anything to Harbaugh, because if he had said something to John Harbaugh, and I happen to know John Harbaugh, I know he's a very, very intelligent guy. He's not the kind of guy that's going to counsel anything stupid. That coach Harbaugh would have said something to him. But he says to one of the offensive linemen standing there, he says, if Ginn breaks it, and what he meant by breaking it, Phil, he meant if Ginn gets past the cover team, the Baltimore Ravens cover, he said, just run off of the sideline and tackle him.
So Flacco is telling his teammates to tackle Ginn from the sideline.
That is exactly right. Now, when a couple of the players question him and say, are you serious? He says, I don't know. I don't know what the rules state. Maybe they can penalize us. And then he said the magic words, maybe they can award them a score. I don't know, but we should do something. So Joe Flacco was counseling a patently illegal move.
because he wasn't sure of the rules. He wasn't sure what the punishment would be. And Phil, I'll tell you this right now, having talked to Bob Salusky and Ted Ginn, that's the return guy. I talked to another guy named Ted Ginn, who is also one of the official personnel people for the NFL. He got the exact same name as the return man. And I even asked him, I said, are you the return man for the 49ers? And you're also working for the league office. And he said, wouldn't you like to know? And he winked at me, but he looked to be a white man of about 67. So I'm going to say that it was not that guy, Phil.
Yeah, that's a good bet.
I think that's a very good bet, yeah. So anyway, I said, what is the rule state? He said, any patently unfair play. Any patently, blatantly unfair play by any player on the team will be thusly penalized by the officials, and the official penalty can be something as much as awarding a score to the other side. So Joe Flacco, even though the dumbass didn't know what he was saying, was absolutely correct. They could have awarded to the 49ers a score. And it could very well have been the touchdown that would have given San Francisco the win had Joe Flacco's advice to his teammates run out onto the field and tackle him had that been listened to.
All right, well, as it turns out, Joe, and just backtracking a little bit, there was no need. The Ravens covered Ted Ginn. He got a pretty good return out of it, though, didn't he?
He got back to midfield. He was close to midfield. I think might a little bit past midfield, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it was a good return, but they did cover. And so they never did have to see what would have happened. But what you're telling me is, had the Baltimore Ravens players on the sideline come off that bench, gone onto the field and tackled him, you're saying the penalty that the official could have awarded would have been as much as a score.
That's what the NFL rules call for. In that situation, as much as awarding the other team a score, they could have awarded them a touchdown. Now, think of the score at that time, Phil, was 34-31 in favor of the Baltimore Ravens. Now, if you're the official, you could say, well, I'll award them a field goal, tie the ball game, and have it go into overtime.
I'd give them the touchdown.
That's exactly what I would do, because that is such a blatant foul. It's such a blatant penalty to come off of the bench and to tackle a player. I would absolutely, you'd have to, because you're talking about a kickoff. The only score that can result from a kickoff is a touchdown, if a score does result. And I think you would have to do that, and that would have been an absolute travesty. And I will tell you this, Joe Flacco would have gone from being an elite quarterback to one of the biggest morons that the National Football League has ever seen. And this is a league that has seen idiots, unbelievable idiots, down through the years. So, you know, that's my take on this, and I'm Joe Dickhead along with the professor, and we will see you next season, Phil, for a lot of the great the picks that we will have in the National Football League. And
you've been studying up on the names of cities because, you know, Harvey Wireman has a little bit of your problem.
Well, I don't have a problem so much as I always thought it was Kinky Natty, and I know it's Cincinnati, and I don't know, but I'm simply saying that there's a difference of opinion. Well, I got to turn this TV show off that I'm looking at. It's Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, and it's making me sick to my stomach.
All right, I'll see. Yeah, turn off the horror movie, okay?
That's what I'm going to do.
All right, we'll see you later then, Joe.
Yeah, this is Joe Dickhead reporting.
How about that?
What is his problem?
What do you mean, what's his problem? That's Joe Dickhead.
Yeah, he's one of the best sports reporters. What do you mean, what's his problem?
Well, he was all excited, and he's talking about this and that, and then he says, I'm watching Portrait of a Serial Killer. I've got to turn off or I'll throw up.
I don't know. He's watching Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. Have you guys...
No.
Oh, it's pretty good.
It is.
Yeah, I like it, but I mean, I wouldn't... It's a pretty scary movie, and I can understand what the hell he's doing watching that while he's on the radio. You know, you're right about that, Margaret. All right, so there you go. Joe Flacco. Boy, that was a close call for you, Joe. I'm sure you've learned your lesson. And it was funny when the first thing he said, the first guy he talked to was Harbaugh. And Harbaugh said, you know, this and that. But if he'd said that to his coach, this might not have become such a big deal. The coach probably would have looked at him and said, no, we're not running out onto the field and we're not, you know, it ain't going to happen, man. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Phil Henry and Dan Northcraft. We're online at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. and learn to live again, baby. A backstage pass gets you access to thousands of hours of marvelous audio, the best radio show in the history of the world, only $9.95 a month. For a backstage pass, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our podcast available tomorrow, and, of course, Bobby Dooley's podcast debuting next week. Look for it there on iTunes. Make sure you subscribe to it. Until tonight at 10 Pacific, 1 o'clock Eastern, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.